Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And we have the highbrow crew today. So, you know, no pressure to either of you. You know, but I'm expecting a lot from both of you.
Chuck's brows are definitely down right now.
It's a shame Chuck doesn't have any brows anymore. It's a shame you're going to be disappointed, Jeff.
Oh, Chuck, we can take care of the brows. Do you have a Sharpie handy?
Exactly.
No, thank you.
I have some brow gel. We could use that. Brow pencil.
Brow gel.
Brow okay. pencil. Got everything.
Brow gel.
Uh-huh.
This is new to me.
Thank you, Jeff. New to me, too.
So what does brow gel do?
It's kind of like a brow pencil, but it's liquid, and it's like instead of painting on your skin, it more colors the hairs, so that works a little bit better. If you have brows.
Okay.
If you don't have them, then a pencil works better.
Okay. So for me, brow gel would be more appropriate.
Yes. Definitely.
Because I definitely have eyebrows.
Really nice ones.
So in other words, Jeff, brow gel gels your brows.
I think we have our show title already.
Chuck, we're about to start a cosmetics company of our own, and we are using that line.
Yep, there you go. There you go.
All right. So speaking of my marketing manager, Chuck Joyner, how are you?
Good, Jeff. If I'm your marketing manager, you're in deep trouble. But
I'm very well aware of that.
On the other hand, come to think of it, I've got a lot to work with when it comes to you. So, yeah, maybe I could do marketing manager for you.
And maybe you could. Yeah.
Can only get better. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
Just that there would be a lot of resource to tap into.
True.
Well, good luck with that, Chuck.
Thank you. Good to be here. And
my product designer, Patrice. Patrice, how are you?
So you're saying I have to design the brow gel for Jeff? That's
yes. And because we all work as a team, you are welcome to apply it for me.
Okay.
If you want.
Sure. I'll do that.
Patrice, look at it this way. You can design the products, or Jeff can design the products. Which do you think is the safer path?
Actually, I'm doing it. It's probably better.
Yeah.
So to go along with the eyebrow gel, eyebrow pencils for Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. we need the whole line, right? Otherwise, it's not gonna. It's not the market is not fulfilled.
That's true. We need to be able to cater to a wide audience and meet all of their needs. That's how it works.
How do we get off on these tangents? I mean, we're not even 5 minutes into the show, and it's like I have no idea where we are or how we got here.
Blame my brain, I would say.
Well, Chuck, it started with your eyebrows.
That is true.
And then went from there.
That is true.
It's as far as we're going to go with that one.
There's the second show title already.
Yeah. All right. We're doing better on show titles than we were yesterday.
That is so true. I mean, AI wasn't too bad.
Gram AI. I liked that one. What did we end up going with for the show title yesterday?
Gram AI.
Was it Gram AI? Okay. Yes. Okay.
So if you want to know what that is about, you have to listen to yesterday's big show.
Right. Yes. Also, if you've already listened to yesterday's big show, at the end, I mentioned that that I have my cool thing for today because I had two yesterday and I had to decide which one to do for the big show and which one to do for the Mac show. I have not forgotten about the one that I had for the Mac show. And I expect that there'll be some people that are very pleased with the cool thing that I have. So,
good to know.
If you're watching live, you have to wait to the end. If you're watching or listening to the recording,
Please don't
well,
skip.
You can cheat, but don't.
Yeah, you would miss so much funny things about Chuck's brows.
That's right.
Oh boy.
Well, speaking of, I'm going to see if I can get Chuck's eyebrows to raise with the first story. So, you know how the UK mm-hmm. has pushed Apple to give them a backdoor, in a manner of speaking, into encrypted data on iCloud. And yes, I know I really simplified that, but that's just so I can get to the next part. France is is looking at fining Apple for their privacy features. And yes, I said that in a way that's a little bit inflammatory or anyhow, here's the deal. France has said that that Apple having their app tracking transparency feature that allows users to control which apps can do cross-app tracking on iOS. France is saying, this is kind of anti-competitive. You're giving yourself an unfair advantage in the advertising space by limiting how other companies can track information about users across apps. Now, they're not saying Apple is actually doing this. They're saying they concerned, and I'll read from the piece. The piece says the French regulator charged Apple in 2023, saying it was concerned that the company might, quote, abuse its dominant position by implementing discriminatory, non-objective, and non-transparent conditions for the use of user data for advertising purposes. So what they're saying is Apple, because they can potentially have access to all of this information about users that other companies don't have access to or potentially don't have access to, that means Apple could use that information to their advantage and therefore act in an anti-competitive way. They are not saying Apple is doing this. They're just saying Apple could do it. Therefore, this is anti-competitive. And so now they're at the point where it's like, okay, so are we going to fine them? And if so, how much?
$350. No. I mean, from a European standpoint, I don't think that makes sense. I mean, the whole point in Europe is that users should have control about who tracks you and who doesn't. So app tracking transparency should be 110% in line with that. You know, the whole cookie banner thing that we have to suffer through here. Mm-hmm. It's a crap solution. It's also not what the law intended, but that's what we ended up with. So, I mean, is there a potential that Apple says basically every app has to use app tracking transparency, but we don't? Yeah, sure. Just like Facebook can say, well, whatever, every third party has to do cookie banners, but we don't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That every platform, for sure. I mean, you own it, so you have the potential to say some rules apply, some doesn't. From what I've seen, and I seem to recall some app of Apple's actually asking for tracking. I don't remember which one it was, but there was some app, maybe, was it the sports app? Some app that actually asked about it. So I would say no. I mean, as long as Apple can prove that they are adhering to the same standards that they set out for others, I don't see the problem. Yeah, potentially, yes, potentially the others could also just circumvent it.
Right. Okay, so thank you for saying that, Patrice, because As someone who lives in the United States, I have a very US perspective on privacy and privacy rulings or accusations like this. So you have the advantage of having a US and EU perspective. Therefore, when you say that, it's validating for me because that's what I was thinking, but I was also very well aware that I have an inherent bias in how I look at things like this.
I mean, there is that France investigates this, I think, is totally fine, because this is something that someone should look into, right? Because Apple, it is in a privileged position and could do this. It doesn't mean that they did, it just means that they could, and they're big enough that, I mean, who else could force them? I mean, we as users, for sure not. Even companies as Facebook, they're not big enough. So governments are probably the only ones that can do something like this. So I get it. Does I mean it France, even though this Reuters article kind of says, oh, they're facing a likely fine, it's actually not what's in the article, because basically the French government is saying, well, we're expecting a result this spring. We're not telling you anything else.
That's a good point. And expecting a result does not equate. What I'm doing is paraphrasing what you're saying for the people that didn't get it the first time. Expecting a result does not equate to you're getting a fine.
If Apple did it, like, give itself preferential treatment, so it can be proven that Apple did not follow its own rules that others had to follow, well, then I would say, I mean, the fine is probably not going to be massive, because in cases like this, the laws are usually quite restrictive. But yeah, they will have to pay it. Like, I'm not saying either way, did Apple do it? Didn't Apple do it? But if they did, if it can be proven, the law is quite weird sometimes, how to prove something or not. But if the law says you're not allowed to do this and you did, and Apple knew that, to be fair, this is not new. This is not something that popped up last year.
And if I was smart, actually, if I'd had more time before we started recording today, I would have read the original articles that go along with this from 2023, because I'm sure in those articles it talks about who complained originally. It implies in this piece that it was advertising companies that complained.
Spotify.
Facebook. Yeah.
So I think I can solve the whole problem here.
Yes.
I just think that Apple and Facebook and X and every other social media company, every other tech company need to publish a quarterly report on the activities of all of their users so that everybody can have access to it, including, the restaurant down the street that can
There's an
track
idea.
me. I
It
mean,
used
just
to be
it's
possible. No,
so
with
we have.
Facebook, it used to be possible. There was, back in like 10 years ago or something, you have 15, you had access to Facebook's graph and you could get access to any information you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, this
And it
just
wasn't
has.
even that long ago
Don't remember,
that they.
because I haven't checked in forever, so.
I don't know if you can still do it without having like a business advertising deal, but yes, I used to go and look at all that demographic stuff.
But was it individual, Jeff? In other words, could I see what Jeff Gambit was doing, or is it just anonymized so that I can see where the trends are moving?
You could see for yourself, I think. Other than that, you could only see trends, and you could get, I think you could basically target certain groups in a way of
Yes.
saying, I want to advertise for this kind of segment with these aspects, stuff like that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
it
true.
was very granular, just what you could look at. So I could, if I wanted to, look for people that actually match who you are, Chuck. like even down to the city. And then I could target people that match Chuck Joyner in Chuck's town with ads. So I mean it was crazy how granular you could get, but it wouldn't actually give names.
As I think for
So
yourself, you could get that info, like what it's adorned about yourself, but not for others.
I mean, this just makes me crazy. And Patrice, I respect what you said, but I have a hard time differentiating the privacy perspective, European or US. If we're talking about the governmental perspectives from Europe or US, then that's another matter. But just I feel like, and I hate to sound like I'm parroting Tim Cook, but I don't think that an expectation of privacy is unreasonable. I mean, if I come in my house and shut the door and pull the curtains, I don't expect someone to knock and say, "What are you doing? What are you having for dinner? What are you watching on TV? You know, what size shoes do you wear?" I just don't get this. I mean, you know, and on the basis of this article, from what Jeff read and what I was able to read, there's a good possibility. No, scratch it. There's a possibility that the French president could come over here, knock on my front door, and punch me in the face. So therefore, he should be fined right now.
Yes, exactly. I
You
mean,
know, I mean, it.
it's basically like saying, and I mean, it's probably a little bit controversial, but like just because you could have kids, you should pay alimony already. Right?
Yes. Yes.
It's like, no,
Yes.
that's not how that works.
Have you seen Minority Report?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but
You know,
check.
I don't get this. I mean, I don't understand the idea that all of a sudden all these companies have the right to track me.
No,
Because
I mean, but that's not what the French government is saying here. They're not saying that the companies have the right to track you. They're just saying Apple cannot impose rules about tracking on other companies, but then not follow them themselves. So basically have an advantage over other companies.
But
Apple
see,
should be on
I
a
don't.
level playing. I mean, and no, I think I agree with that even to some extent. Apple should be on a level playing field. If they say you can't do it, then they shouldn't do it either.
Patrice, this feels like the argument about the App Store, and you know, having the right to be in the App Store when the company did a company, excuse me, a developer, let's just say, they don't have another distribution mechanism, so they want to be in the big store, and maybe their app doesn't live up to it. Or let's take an easier example. Let's just say the local grocery store. You know, I've created a new cola, and I want to sell my cola. And so therefore, I march over to here. I don't know what you have there. It's Giant, or Weiss,
Aldi.
and say, you know, yeah, okay,
Aldi.
Aldi,
Aldi.
okay.
Take
So
Aldi.
I walk up to their door and say I want a shelf, and they look at me and say, get out of here. You know, why? I have no right to do that because I haven't earned it. And they have the right to say, no, we think your call was terrible, or we don't think it can sell enough. But this idea that everybody has the same right,
No,
Apple has
no,
built these,
no, no. I think
well,
that's.
Apple has built these platforms, and I expect them, I think they have the right to utilize the information that I am comfortable giving them.
I mean, kind of. I think this comparison with the Apple Store is, or sorry, with the App Store is not 100% the same. We're talking here about your private data. And as you said earlier, you should have a right to, as you said, close the curtains and not have people peek in, like stuff like that. So that's, I mean, that's the point. Like if you give Apple data, you should be okay with that. Like Apple shouldn't just collect data without you saying this is okay, right? This is kind of the principle. There is a small difference in, from my experience between the US and Europe when it comes to privacy. There is a different approach to it, but overall the principles I think are similar. The difference is if like Apple basically says, well, I can collect Chuck's data however I want, and Chuck has no say in it, but anybody else who uses our platform has to ask Chuck whether they can collect that data. That I think is not okay. It's not about are the other data other companies allowed to access the store, or are they allowed to have the data. It's just if Apple tells the other companies and you by proxy that if the other companies want your data, they have to ask you for it and you have to be okay with it, and itself it doesn't follow that rule, I think that is wrong.
I respectfully disagree, simply because I am by my choice using Apple's products. Okay. And it goes beyond the apps. I mean, I'm accessing these services through an iPhone, an iPad, a Mac.
Okay, then I'll give you a counterexample. We had that discussion a couple of months ago. Car manufacturers that were tracking your every move without you knowing. Is that okay?
Right.
I don't think so. So just because you bought a car doesn't mean the car manufacturer basically owns all your data.
I agree with that, but I feel like it's a little bit different situation here because we're talking about a completely different kind of product.
I don't think so. Just because you bought an iPhone doesn't mean that Apple owns all your data and can do whatever it wants with it.
No, but I would have an ex. Let's do it this way. Yeah. Me, the car manufacturer, knowing that I drive at 3 a.m., you know, to the convenience store to get a chili dog, is not going to affect the product that they produce.
What okay? about if your phone knows you went to the convenience store at 3 a.m. to buy a chili dog?
Okay, that's an interesting
point,
Jeff.
And now Apple
has
that info and can sell it.
Yeah, okay.
Is that
okay? That's a great question, Jeff. Yeah. Because up to this point, I've been thinking along the lines of I use Apple Notes to maintain, you know, a variety of things. Now, I don't think Apple has a right to see what's in those notes, but I think it has a right to know that I am using notes, you know, 2 hours a day, because that's going to affect where they deploy their resources to enhance, as opposed to another program.
That's usually,
calendar. I don't use calendar.
By the way, that kind of data is usually not covered under privacy laws, at least definitely not in Europe. I would have to think about that, if whether it's true in the US. I think in the US it doesn't matter. In Europe, any data that you collect to basically ensure that the service runs properly is fair game. You can't sell it on, but you can collect it for yourself. That is totally fine.
Okay.
So that's not covered. It's more that Apple could say, well, I want to track all the websites that Chuck visits because I want to advertise to him or sell it to someone. Not that Apple's doing that, but they would have the right to do it. Yeah. It's a difficult topic, but my personal approach is simply, if Apple says you have to ask, if you want to track people, fine, but you have to ask. Then Apple should follow that same rule.
Okay, I see where you're going with it. I have mixed feelings. Jeff is the one that gave me pause because, okay, that's a real good point, Jeff, that my phone knows. So have I mean, if out of the box, is Apple capturing that information? Or somewhere along the way, to be honest with you, I'd have to really think about it. Have I given it permission to do that? Because Apple knows that on Sunday mornings, I often go to a particular restaurant for lunch. Okay. And so it'll pop up and say, you know, 20 minutes to restaurant X. Somewhere I've given it permission to say that, so that it can give me that kind of convenient information.
I mean, that is different. I mean, if it's giving you the information 20 minutes ago there, that is not advertisement data. That is not tracking data. That is literally just a map service telling you like where you want to go. But by the way, somewhere along the way, you have probably given Meta permission to sell your data.
Oh yeah, I think that's in their terms of service.
Exactly. So, by the way, which is one of the differences between Europe and the US. In the US, it's basically, with some exceptions here or there, if you sign it and you say yes, you can sell my data, then the company, or yes, you own my data, then the company owns your data. In Europe, even if you did that, the user still owns the data. That's one of the fundamental differences.
Okay.
It's still your data, and you can at any point request them to delete it. You can at any point request them to provide you the data they even have about you, all of that. It's still your data. You still decide what to do with it. That's one of the fundamentals. In fact, there's some exceptions in the US as well about medical data and so on, but not going to get into that. I'm also not a privacy lawyer, so there's probably some nuances that I'm from my practice working in fields where we have to deal with privacy laws a lot, haven't caught.
Yeah. To take this back to a 30,000-foot level, mm-hmm. this just seems like one more example of especially a European company, sorry, mm-hmm. European friends, but a European country, pardon mm-hmm. me, European country saying, how can we get Apple to pay us some money? Yes. Because everybody else is finding them.
That's the other part.
Let's find them too and get some of the cash.
Ireland just got $15 billion. How can we get another couple?
Yeah, and the UK has set them up, you know, a dozen different times.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the other part of this story. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were in the weeds. Let's pull out and look at this and say, oh well, maybe not. We're not sure. Mm-hmm. We'll let you know how much we want you to send us.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, by law, up to 10% of the global revenue of the company, which I have some problems with that. I understand why. Yeah, no, I understand why they did that, but I'm also kind of, I think it's that doesn't make sense. I mean, the reason was that a lot of, what companies were then doing is basically hiding all their revenues outside Europe and saying, well, we make zero in Europe, so not paying. So the fine should hurt. Like if someone really did something bad, it should hurt. That makes sense. But there's probably other ways of doing this.
But Patrice, you just said it. You know, some of these alleged offenses, and I do say alleged, but alleged offenses, I don't think they rise to the level of some of these penalties that they're trying to impose. Now, to your point, they're gonna go as deep into the pocket as they can find.
No. That is definitely something we've seen. They've been even like sometimes people felt they were quite low for the impact it had. So they've been breaches and stuff like that where companies were fined, and overall the sense seemed to be that most people thought it was actually quite low for how big the company was and how big the impact was. So it's they don't go to the maximum just because they want more money. The court systems, at least in Europe, are still independent from the government.
But I think sometimes it's how egregious was the was what led to the breach.
Yeah.
You know, if something got breached because somebody was leaving passwords taped to a monitor on a sticky note, I think you need, they need to be hit.
Yeah.
But if it's because somebody, you know, was able to hack a 50-word password, that's a little bit different. Yeah.
No, but that's exactly. I mean, we have data breaches are every day. Like somewhere something breaches. It's not every breach is fined. Like this is not usually actually most of them are not, because if it's someone hacked something and you did everything you could to prevent it and it still happened, it's not your fault. It's mostly if you're doing things you were not supposed to do. Literally you are on purpose breaking the law, you're just ignoring it. That's usually more on the level. Or if you were really, really careless, like, I don't know, hey, let's collect every day. Like in Europe, we have this principle of data minimality. So like you should only collect the data you really, really need. And you should tell that to your users. What do you need? That's why you get those long lists of what is all collected. Well, if you don't do that and you say, well, just collect everything and then you get a breach, there might be someone that then says, okay, then prove to me why you needed all that data. And if you can't, then you might get fined. Like, why did you need, I don't know, your cat's weight? Stupid example, something like that.
Well, but if I know your cat's weight, maybe I know that you'll be buying more cat food, so therefore...
As long as you can argue it, it's fine. But, like, I don't know, if you're, I don't know, you're... You're a restaurant and catering to, I don't know, kids, and you need the cat, the grandparents' cats wait or something like that. Stupid example. But the point is simply, there must be a reason why you collected the data. As long as you can say this is why we collected, it's okay. But you can't just say, well, just vacuum everything up and we'll figure it out later. That's not how it works.
All right, we've been talking about this for a long time,
Yes.
and
Let's
I
move
haven't stopped us because
on.
I think it's been a really good discussion. But I'm
Yes.
stopping us because,
We should do another
first,
one. Yes.
Bob Beach has a question. What's a chili dog? Okay, so Bob, a chili dog
I missed it. I missed that.
is American cuisine. So you take a hot dog, and that goes on a hot dog bun, and then you put an American chili on it.
That's what I
So
thought. Okay.
yep, so it's so American chili. I mean, there's different types of chili, but this would typically be ground beef and kidney beans and a tomato base, and then maybe some other things, some seasonings, and could
Corn
have,
sometimes, yes.
onions or
Yeah,
jalapenos
yeah,
or
yeah.
whatever. So
Chili.
then you put that on top of the hot dog in the bun. And that's a chili dog. But you can also get variations. Sometimes it's based on region, sometimes it's based on taste. So you could have like
Dice.
diced raw white onions on it, maybe diced fresh jalapenos,
Some
shredded
cheese.
cheese. So anyhow, there you have the basic chili dog, and then you can do a lot of other things with it. There you go. That's a chili dog.
Chuck's chili dog. Now we need to know how Chuck likes his chili dog.
With mustard and onions.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
Wow. Interesting.
I do
Preferably.
not have a favorite chili dog because hot dogs are beef and I can't eat beef.
Same.
But they're really good for breakfast.
Good to know.
I bet they are. It's probably like a really rich comfort food flavor.
I should try that. I mean, I don't have to do it with beef. You can do like chicken or something else.
Bison.
Yeah,
I
I
make a
can't eat bison
killer
either, so.
bison chili.
Yeah, I can't eat
But
bison
yeah,
either, so.
you could do chicken, you could do turkey. There's all you could
Soy,
do,
whatever.
yeah, whatever. All
Yeah,
right,
okay,
so
let's move on to the next story.
Bob Beach is asking if I'm a vegetarian. No, actually, I am not. I just can't eat beef because I don't produce the enzyme to digest it. How weird is that?
Interesting.
Yeah. So, anyhow, next story, which I was thinking would be more of a PSA, but with the way we're going, this is probably the last story we'll hit. So, this morning, the news dropped that Skype is being shut down, like turned off, gone. Microsoft is going to push everyone to Teams, and I believe the kill date is May 5th.
Very
Yeah, I
soon
scrolled down.
already.
There it is. May
Yeah.
5th.
2 months.
Is that killing Skype or killing the users?
Well, they've been
You're
killing the
still
users
using
slowly just by letting them
it?
use Skype.
That's true.
But yeah, so the app Skype, the service Skype, shuts down on May 5th.
Wait, let me go get my violin.
I mean the first question or the first reaction most people will have is like, wait, Skype is still around?
The people that I know that use Skype a lot are kids.
I just get spam messages on Skype. I literally just use it. I have a phone number, a phone line on there. That's literally all I use it for.
It's I still have Skype installed, but I use it almost never.
We used to, I mean, at BTN, we used to use Skype a ton. We used to have a Skype wall. Like, Ewan had, like, I don't know how many
I forgot about
Mac minis
those.
that I think even were donated by like friendly listeners. And we had the Skype wall. Like, he would basically, because back in the day when we didn't have Zoom and stuff like that, he would literally
Each of us had a Skype channel we would call in on.
Exactly, and he would kind of mix them together, and you had like VNC or something, or screen share, whatever set up, and he would go into every machine and accept a call from us and all of that. Yeah.
It was pretty clever. Yeah, we each had our own Skype line to call in on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And isn't it interesting, though, that, you know, there was the need for that, not just because of what Ewan was doing and not what a lot of us were doing, but there was a genuine need, and Microsoft just never stepped up to that. They let everybody, a lot of others, I'm not going to say everybody else, but a lot of others, you know, move into that space and eat their lunch, and now they're trying to drag it back with Teams.
You know what the last really good version of Skype was? The one before Microsoft bought it, right before. Because Skype used to be really good. I mean, it would tunnel.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it was well known that, like, no matter how restrictive your network was, no matter what filters were in place, no matter how complicated your setup was, it would find a way to connect to Skype servers. So it was really good.
It was cool and creepy.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you could lock down your, like, every single port.
Yeah.
Outgoing, and somehow Skype would still
would
work.
Find that one port that it could go through. Yeah, it was really good, and it was a good, I mean, back in the, what was it, mid-2000s maybe, it was a really good application. I mean, I used it a ton, and yeah, I think Microsoft bought it and they kind of lingered, and then they added like a ton of features nobody cared about, including ads, and yeah, it never went. I mean, they had the whole Skype for Business for a little while. It just never went anywhere. And then, I mean, we have competitors popped up. I mean, the what we're using right now, Zoom, is literally probably one of the biggest competitors. FaceTime, like all of that.
And I remember when Zoom was just this clunky little
2014 or so, 2014. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was when the pandemic hit and the lockdown hit. Zoom totally played their cards right.
Yes. Yeah.
And took off.
I mean, but to be fair, at that point, 2020, they were already pretty big. I mean, I saw advertisement in 2017, 18. I saw advertisements in the US at airports and whatever. They were pretty big at that point already. So they were capable of scaling even further. And I mean, Microsoft had Teams at that point, but that didn't go anywhere either. Not due to the pandemic.
It doesn't scale now, but that's another discussion.
I mean, they're trying to push it. As you can see, now they're pushing every Skype user over to Teams to basically boost Teams. But
You know, and I think Zoom is to be commended for what they did, because when the pandemic hit, everybody was, and I mean everybody, every business was saying, oh, we'll just use Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So the schools were saying, we'll just use Zoom.
Yeah,
and exactly. How Zoom was able to scale to the as quickly and as relatively smoothly as they did under those circumstances is, I mean, that should be a business case somewhere that gets written up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it has been amazing what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so.
If
anybody knows, please, I'd love to read it. So please send me chuckitbackvoices.com, because I would love to see that story. And I don't recall ever seeing it written up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else is super amazing and probably needs to be written up? It's how awesome Patrice is.
Yeah.
It's true, because you are responsible for our modernized live stream and live chat. And it's so easy to use. You don't need to have an explanation, but it's still nice to have one. And would you mind doing that, Patrice?
I don't mind at all. So it's super, super easy. I can explain it in a couple sentences. So we have a live stream, live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where you point your browser to. Doesn't matter on which device, as long as it's somewhat modern, it should work. So don't try it with Netscape Navigator. That's not going to work. Or like an old version of Internet Explorer. It's not going to work. Probably the old versions of Skype also are not going to do that. But either
not
way.
Not for long.
Not for long, especially. Well, the old versions are probably not working anyway. But either way, like we have this really cool live chat or live stream system on the left. It's like YouTube. On the left-hand side, you see the video. On the right-hand side, you see the chat. And the cool thing is no registration required. You can literally open the page, I don't know, hit play on the video if you want, and start typing. It generates a really funny name sometimes. There's the radical noise, and noise is with a Y for some reason, and Y and C, radical noise. Yeah, it's like, but if you want to change that, up top there's a purple button, just click on it, change the name, change it to whatever you want, like the third and Bob Beach did, for example, and it should remember that. For the next time, as long as your browser remembers it. And that's literally all there is about it. We record every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, the Mac Show, and Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the Big Show, where we talk about, well, quantum chips, for example, or games, cars, space, all other technology, anything but Apple, basically. That's what the Big Show is about. Speaking of, Mac Show, Big Show, website, britishtechnetwork.com/chat is where you will find the transcripts for this show. Because if you're listening to this on our website in, I don't know, YouTube podcasts, I think it's called these days, Spotify, wherever, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find the podcast, doesn't matter. You can, of course, not join the live chat, that's in the past, but you can get the transcript. And all you have to do is select on that page, February 28, 2025, because that's the date when we are recording this. And if you do that, then it will tell you everything we talked about, like the cool things that are now coming up.
Mm-hmm. Patrice, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
So, as Patrice mentioned, it's time for cool things. So, who has the first one?
And since I forgot, it's a big one.
Sorry, I was thanking Bob Beach. He came up with the story of Zoom, the triumphs and trials of a video conferencing powerhouse. It's a book on Zoom, and I will be looking that up as soon as the show's over. Bob, thank you.
Cool.
Jeff, I'll throw my cool thing in real quick because I've got it here, all queued up and ready. Oh, okay. I said I will throw
it in.
Do I
need to do my cool thing?
No, I've got it there. I've got it. This one comes from my time at CES a couple months ago now. I can't believe it already. This is the newest dash cam from Nextbase. This is called the Nextbase Pico. This is a $99 dash cam that incorporates some of the higher end features from some of the other Nextbase models. And it's at $99, it's super affordable, it's super easy to use. But it does include some of those really nice advanced features. Now, obviously, not all of them, because they need to retain some of them in the higher level models. But if you have been thinking about a dash cam, I absolutely love. I have a Nextbase, a different model, because I have a better model than this one. But the bottom line is, this is like their entry level model, and you still get some amazing things. So if you are in the market for a dash cam, and I strongly encourage everyone to get a dash cam, this is a great, great, great first candidate. It gives you 1080p video, which is terrific. The 4K obviously is better. 2K, mm-hmm. 2 and 4K are better, but 1080p is more than adequate for pretty much everything you're going to really need to capture. Yeah. And there are just so many other little things. It's got ultra wide HD. It's a smart parking feature, an emergency SOS and voice control. So mm-hmm. I really love Nextbase stuff. They're big in the UK, and they've been getting bigger in the US. They usually show up in any of the top dash cam lists. At least one of their models show up there. So, and plus that they're really just really great people who innovate and iterate every single year, making things a little bit better. I can't advocate them enough. Mm-hmm. So if you want a dash cam, go check this out.
If you're legally allowed to have one,
there's Europe,
has, I don't know what the current status is here, but I at least remember that both Germany and Austria, they were not allowed to have dashcams because privacy.
Somebody shoot me now.
No, it's like, oh, there's a big thing here. Like, put a camera up somewhere at the house. It's like a big discussion.
So, all right.
But it's really cool. I like dash cams.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah. Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
Well, my cool thing is a TV show on Apple TV Plus. And the good thing is, since Apple TV Plus is now available, well, not quite everywhere, but almost everywhere, it doesn't matter whether you're in the Apple ecosystem or not, because it's available on Android, most Android, at least newer devices, I guess, because I heard, Jeff, yours wasn't working. But at least it's available somewhere on Android, and like Android TVs and whatever, like Roku, but also Apple TV and all your Macs and iPhones, whatever. It's a really cool show. So the show is basically, there's this guy, it's like Edward Brooks. He's kind of the math genius in the UK, so it's a UK-based show. And he makes some interesting headway on a math thing, and then all of a sudden his teacher kind of dissuades him from like going any further, and kind of, I think, even steals his work or something, I remember, and then kills himself. And there's a whole thing that happens afterwards, and I'm not gonna spoil what happens later, but the idea basically being that something about prime numbers and math is inherently dangerous, and some people are watching and trying to, and maybe killing or at least detaining people that do certain things with math. So math is not as innocuous as you thought.
I have not started watching this yet.
It's a really good show.
And the other people that have told me about it didn't explain it in a compelling way.
Good. Hopefully.
But now it's compelling.
Yeah. There's some really cool actors in it as well. Not some that are better known, especially in the UK, like Stephen, I think Rear is his last name, how you pronounce it. But yeah, it's, I said, there's a lot of cool actors and really interesting stories, and it plays in Europe. So there's a little NSA aspect in that, or CIA, I don't remember. Maybe probably both, you know, potato, potato. Yeah, mostly it plays in Europe. So that's also quite interesting for you, probably.
That's cool. All right. Well, now I actually will start watching it.
Yeah, it's on my list of shows to watch, because a couple of the promos caught my attention. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that looks like something that could be good. So it's nice to have an affirmation, Patrice.
Yes, I mean, it was almost, I think the season finale is happening next week. So it's only 8 episodes, so it's not a big season.
Okay. All right, so my cool thing ties in to Apple TV Plus as well, and Severance. Have you ever wanted to try your hand at macro data refinement? Now you can. So you go to lumen-industries.com, and it's the macro data refinement screen, and so you watch for the groups of numbers that start to stand out, and then you click and drag to select them, and they go into the different bins. And I actually have filled all of the bins, so I've seen what happens at the end.
But do you know what you did, actually?
Of course not, because that's part of macro data refinement. And so then it switches me to a different set to work through.
Mm-hmm.
And but when you finish refining, and so you have 100% for all the bins, you also can share your refinement activity with friends.
Very cool.
I'm trying to do it now, and I keep getting nope, nope, nope.
Well, if you just click, which is what I did at first, it doesn't work. You have to watch for a group to start to like really stand out, and then click and drag around the group. And the first time you get it's like, oh, now it all makes sense. Even though I don't understand what I'm doing, it makes sense.
Okay. I can't believe I'm sitting here doing this, Jeff.
Yeah, well,
There
that's.
goes your evening, I guess.
Oh, I got one. I got
Yeah.
one.
If
Okay.
you're good at it, be careful because Lumen Industries might hire you.
Right. And Bob Beach is reminding all of us that yes, you can download the short version of Rickon's book on Apple Books. So there you go. So I guess it's now time to wrap up so we can get back to our macro data refinement. Yeah. Okay, I have to close that tab because I'm just going to sit here and stare at it. It's kind of mesmerizing just to watch the numbers stand out and then recede. And yeah. Okay, Chuck, where can people find you?
Come and find me at macvoices.com. That's where we have other spirited discussions. Unfortunately, a lot of them recently seem to be around security and privacy. We have more discussions like this, along with larger tech things, and usually there's an Apple focus somewhere in there. You can find me on the socials as at Chuck Joyner, and you can find the live show Tuesday nights 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV with Jeff and the whole crew. Patrice sometimes when she stays up late or gets up really, really early. That's it. I'm going to go draw my shades and hide.
It's a lot easier to work on your macro data refinement when you've removed other distractions.
Don't want anybody to see me doing it, Jeff.
That's part of how severance works, Chuck. Yeah. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me not eating a chili dog over here every week on the British Tech Network. Thursdays, the big show, and Fridays, the Mac show, except for the week when I'm traveling, like next week, where I sometimes make it to the big show, but definitely not to the Mac show because I'm usually on a plane somewhere. And yeah, everything I'm doing, all the podcast projects and literally everything you can find on my website, thepatrice.com, takes you there. And I always like to show my really nice Retro Rewatch mug. Retro Rewatch with Jeff Gamet and me, where we rewatch Stargate SG-1 right now. We rewatch just retro TV shows, but mostly we're in Stargate SG-1. We're about to release, if I actually remember to edit, so I should do that tonight. The next episode, Thor's Chariot, which is a really cool one, season 2, episode 6. So that will be a really interesting episode. I can tell you that it was one of my favorites. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. All right, then for me, Jay Gamut on the social medias, and I'm active right now on Mastodon, some on Blue Sky, and I'm switching from Instagram to Pixel Fed. So if you don't see photos from me on Instagram, it's because I'm just posting them to Pixel Fed now. So go find me
Pixel Fed
there.
is really cool.
I'm really enjoying it. Okay, so then for shows, Chuck lets me join in on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Dave Ginsburg lets me join in on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Dave also lets us crib from his show notes from In Touch with iOS so we don't miss out on any important news stories. So thank you for that, Dave. And then here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays, Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. So with that, thank you to both of you for. Okay, when I made the joke about it being highbrow today, it turns out it really was a highbrow show today. So that was cool. You two really sounded like you knew what you were talking about. So that was awesome. And I think that means by association, I appear as if I'm intelligent. So I will take it. So anyhow, thank you. You two are awesome. This is a wonderful way for me to start my Fridays. And I, even though I have to get up early, I look forward to my Friday mornings getting to spend it with you. Speaking of spending it with people, hey, all of you that watch and listen live, thank you for being here and being part of this. If you've been in the live chat, thank you for participating there as well. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well.
And we're
Hey,
sorry.
you. Yeah. And we're sorry. Yeah. Hey, Ewan. Thank you for being you. Mueller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And with that, I believe it is time to remind everyone to come back next Thursday for the big show, again next Friday for the Mac show, and all of you have an awesome weekend.